dying with honor. Bible study lesson number 9, June 25th. Living and dying with honor. Every day as we face the issue, we look back to June 12, 2001, Linda's breast cancer. July 8, 2005, Linda's brain surgery. Looking forward to July 16, 2009. We say do not think it's cancer related, but do not know. We weren't able to get the biopsy on it. We're reminded of it. We're reminded of it in life and death. We've seen believers go out winners and we've seen believers go out losers. Recently, a friend of our son committed suicide. What a sad and tragic event. He's in heaven today, though. He was a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, from all I know about him. I met him several times over the years. 19 years old. Tragedy, not the first believer I've known who committed suicide, sad to say. But he failed his destiny. This becomes a test and trial to his parents to fulfill their destiny and move on. The protocol plan of the Father. We know other believers who went out great victors. A couple of months back, about that late April, end of April, somewhere along in there, a young man went to be with the Lord of Lou Gehrig's disease, not quite 40 years of age. His mother-in-law and my wife attended Bible college together in Canada, became good friends down here in Seattle when they were, the mother and her husband were getting ready to go to Alaska as missionaries. They went to our home for dinner to visit. We gave the husband some books to encourage him in his Bible teaching. He broke his back in a flight, went through quite a test there. He was a pilot. He got caught in a whiteout and broke his back. Then later on, he still a young man when he dropped dead of a massive heart attack. His wife carried on. Her daughter and her husband went to the Siberia's missionaries. The husband got Lou Gehrig's disease, came back here, and he's now with the Lord. Mother attends the church of a pastor whose youngest daughter, I think it's his youngest daughter, but one of his daughters married a serviceman. That serviceman gave his life in Iraq. He told the men over there that if he told the Lord Jesus Christ, if anybody was going to die in combat, he wanted it to be him. Shortly thereafter, he was in eternity because he wanted to leave behind a testimony of them because he was ready to go and many of them weren't ready to go. Death is all around us. Death by the automobile, car wreck. Death by heart attacks, death by cancer, death by little children, babies by sudden death syndrome, whatever it may be. We cannot escape the reality of it, but we can prepare to live with honor and die with honor. Absent from the body, present with the Lord, shall we pray? God and Father, we thank you for the privilege of teaching your word, for your word is absolute truth. We claim your promise, your word will not return void, but accomplish that which you designed it for. We ask you to sanctify it and bless it. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to whom be glory, both now and forever. Amen. When you and I pass beyond the veil of life, our personality will continue. People talk about often about the differences that take place in the transition from heaven to earth. I hurt them, and I'm sorry. But there are similarities too. There's continuity. Heaven is the earthly life of the believer, glorified and perfected, it has been said. Heaven is the earthly life of the believer, glorified and perfected. That was Erwin W. Lutzer. 1 minute after death. Dr. Lutzer was a graduate of Dallas Theological Seminary a number of years ago. Now, when we die physically, we wake up in the presence of Jesus Christ. We will be there. We will carry with us beyond the grave the doctrine that we have known, but our perceptions will be clearer. We can't fully understand it all, but things will be far different and far more wonderful. First of all, we will be able to, even though we will not yet have a resurrection body, unless if we die, if the rapture occurs, we'll all see Christ with a resurrection body. But if not, we'll be able to see and look upon the glorified Jesus Christ, so in all of his glory. It will not blind us. We'll be able to see the glory of God, and it will not blind us. Moses was told that no man could see God and live. All of that is now changed. Because when we die, because we won't be on this earth in the physical body, we will be, even though we'll be in a temporary body, we will be in the presence of God forever. What a glorious day that will be. People often weep and cry. Thomas More wrote a hymn years ago called "Come You Disconsolate." Come, you disconsolate, whereas you languish. Come to the mercy seat, fervently kneel. Here bring your wounded hearts. Here tell the anguish. Earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. Joy of the desolate, life of the straying, hope of the penitent, faithless and pure. Here speaks the Comforter tenderly, saying, earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot cure. Here see the bread of life, see waters flow forth, the throne of God pure from above. Come to the feast of love, come every knowing, earth has no sorrow, but heaven can remove. I want you to think about something. Interesting hymn. It points out the fact that God is able to give us the comfort. God is the God of all comfort. That we can find soul peace by looking to heaven. Earth has no sorrow, but heaven can remove. But to do this, you must learn to think from a heavenly standard today. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lead not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but when not one jot and tittle of the word. The law is going to stand. The whole word's going to stand. When you and I enter eternity, we will continue to have a knowledge of other people. The rich man Dives died and lifted up his eyes in Hades in torments, and he saw Abraham afar off, and he knew Abraham. He knew Abraham. Lazarus died and went to the paradise of the earth, to Abraham's bosom. The Hebrew section of it. The rich man Dives looked across into paradise and recognized Lazarus. He knew Lazarus for who he was. This means that, and that we will be able to identify other people in eternity. Now, he had never seen, the rich man had never seen Abraham. No, he had never seen Abraham. He knew not who he was. Look at Luke 16, beginning in verse 19. This is not a parable, it's a true story. There was a certain rich man, that's Dives, which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. Here was a man who lived well. Here was a man who ate good. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. Lazarus was a homeless person, a street person, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. He was willing to eat crumbs off the table, whatever was left. Eat out of a garbage can, we'd say today. Dogs came along and licked his sores. I see people, a lot of street people with dogs around them. Some of them, I'm sure, have all kind of sores on them. Maybe the dogs licked their sores, too. I don't know. I haven't seen that happen, but it could happen. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. He went to the area of paradise that was set aside for the believers for the dispensation of the Hebrews. And in Hades, the unseen world, the rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, the unseen world, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. And he knew Abraham, who he had never seen before, so we're going to have a unique ability, evidently, to identify people that we've never met before. Because if the unbeliever can do it, certainly the believer can do it. Likewise, Abraham said to him, Son, remember thou in thy lifetime receivest thou good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And see, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify to them, lest they also come into this place of torment. You will immediately realize that Lazarus had a memory of his five brothers. I'm sorry, Dives did. So we will still have memory of things gone below. You say, what about the verse that says, all things have become new? Death does not change who we are. Death does not change what we know. Our personalities will just go through the same information we have stored in our minds today, except there will be a difference. As believers, it will be purified. When we reach heaven, you will, if your parents are there and were saved, you will recognize them and identify with them and rejoice with them that they're there and that you are there, or with brothers and sisters. In the paradise of heaven, while awaiting the rapture of the church, I have no doubt that there are wonderful, wonderful family reunions when believers are caught in. Believers introduced to grandparents or great-grandparents if the salvation line goes back. They will know them. That we won't be thinking of sin. Once in heaven, we will see things on a different basis. Over a period of time in paradise, I'm sure believers are introduced to other believers. Do I believe it? People always have the idea, I'm going to run and sit down and talk to this believer or that believer. First of all, the believers today are separated by dispensations. I'm absolutely convinced of, because we will be resurrected 7 years before, using earthly timetable, before David or Enoch or Noah, any of them are resurrected. We have a dispensation of Gentiles. Their rewards relate to heavenly things. They're different from what our rewards will be. They're heavenly people. I mean, we're heavenly people. They're an earthly people. But yet, because they are connected to the stars and all, and since we know nothing about the rewards for dispensation Gentiles, it may be that while our rewards, heavenly speaking, the third heaven concept, their rewards may well relate to second heaven concepts, because we know that the stars in heaven were placed there as a sign for them. Genesis chapter 1. Where God made it clear that this was to be. Verse 14, and God said, let there be light in the firmament for the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs, for seasons, for days, and for years. We don't know a lot about their rewards, but they may relate to other planets and other galaxies. We don't know. The earth will probably be filled, the expanded earth will probably be loaded with the believers from the dispensation of the Hebrews. That's their earthly destiny. There'll be Gentiles that were saved and did not become proselyte Jews, as we know. We don't know how many or whatever. It's going to be interesting to see what God does in the future. We're heavenly people, and we will immediately be caught up to the third heaven, where we will meet loved ones that have gone on before. Perhaps you'll get a chance to catch a glimpse of Paul. I don't know. Or whatever. I have no way of knowing. On the Mount of Transfiguration, the three disciples that were there saw Moses and Elijah and identified with them, but they were from the dispensation of Hebrews at that time. The church had not begun. And we cannot take this to conclude that we will see Elijah and Moses during the interim period that we're in heaven. We shall know more fully, 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, even as we are known. We will no longer have any desire to sin. We will not learn doctrine we have not learned. We will go to the judgment seat of Christ, I am totally convinced, with the doctrine that we have learned in this world. We will take that and no more to the judgment seat of Christ. We will not suddenly come into a great understanding of everything after we die. We carry with us the doctrine that we have in our soul, and then we pick up more along the way there. We'll be going to Bible class, learning a lot more, but first we must go and pass through the judgment seat of Christ. The old hymn by W.B. Stevens and J.R. Baxter Jr., Further Along, written in November of 1900 by W.B. Stevens in Queen City, Missouri, shortly after the death of his son. It was first published in 1907 in what was called the Holiness Carol Songbook. Tempted and tried, we've often made to wonder why it should be thus all the day long, while there are others living about us, never molested, though in the wrong. Further along, we'll know all about it. Further along, we'll understand why I cheer up my brother living in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. When death has come and taken our loved ones, it leaves our home so lonely and drear. Then do we wonder why others prosper, living so wicked year after year. Faithful till death, saith our loving master, a few more days to labor and wait. Toils of the road will then seem as nothing as we sweep through the beautiful gate. When we see Jesus coming in glory, when he comes from his home in the sky, then we shall meet him in that bright mansion. We'll understand it all by and by. Further along, we'll know all about it. Further along, we'll understand why I cheer up my brother living in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. We'll see we'll learn more and more about God's plan being unfolded. I believe a dispensation, the fullness of time, will be a time when we will see the glorious explanation of God's plan of what could have been without sin, and how God worked all things to his eternal glory despite sin and evil. But we carry beyond the grave a knowledge of things that we have learned and things that we have done. All right, we have given you the doctrine of benefits come to us as believers at death, part one. We gave you part one, a long list of points. We hope you listened carefully to them. We hope you took notes on them and got them down. I wanted to get this in print for years and never did. That would be very complicated because it's written in, it's typed out on old typewriter paper, and I've got notes written all over it where I've retaught the doctrines and revised them somewhat accordingly. Once it was all being typed up several times, but believers got mad at me and destroyed the notes and the work of other people, sometimes their own work. Man put a bunch of my stuff on the hard drives and gave me a box full of hard drives. I didn't even know what hard drives looked like. I'd never seen them. Knew nothing about them. I was totally computer illiterate. He gave me this box of stuff and they laid around and I had no idea what they were for a while, and then one day they got throughout. Later I found out that they were a lot of studies I'd done. But they weren't explained to me, and the person walked away. He just handed me the box. I bought them a dinner. I was hoping to see them again. Nope, they'd had enough of me. They washed their hands. They were going back to the person that they never stopped listening to all the time they attended and sent them to my minister. As long as I was there, they would stay there when I pulled out and closed the work. I felt it was God's will, and they wanted nothing else to do, but that's just the way it goes. But we will be absent from the body, we will be present with the Lord. That is the great thing. In the last class, we covered quickly the many points that we had. One, that every believer must learn to live with honor, because dying is a permanent promotion, eternal change of duty station. Secondly, that the believer at death, we get to see the Lord Jesus Christ personally in all his glory. Thirdly, the believer enters the paradise of the third heaven. It's the permanent change of duty station. Fourthly, the Lord Jesus Christ stands up and greets us when we enter the third heaven. Fifthly, the believer is free from standing under the judgment of God. Sixth, the believer at death has just passed beyond the realms of eternal condemnation. He can never be called back and brought into judgment for condemnation. There is now no condemnation them which are in Christ Jesus. We've already passed the realm, but we may doubt it now, but we will not doubt it once we pass physical death and in the presence of the third heaven. Five, the believer is free from standing under judgment. And six, the believer passes from the beyond the realm of eternal condemnation. Seven, the believer at death will have shed his last tears, except for the judgment seat of Christ tears that will be shed, then the Father will wipe them all away. 1:8, the believer at physical death will have passed forever beyond the power of all forms of death. 9, the believer at death will never sorrow or cry again, except the godly sorrow of the judgment seat of Christ, as we point out to you. 10, the believer at death will never know the pain, the meaning of physical pain again. 11, the believer at death will never know again, be concerned with the details and circumstances of temporal life and human history, thus being free from the pressures of people, place, and things, for the former things are all passed away. We won't concern ourselves. There are people that think that our loved ones have gone on before are watching what's going on this earth. Why would they want to watch what's going on this earth? They're with Jesus Christ. They're seeing Christ. They're seeing the glories of heaven that are available to them to see. Oh, we of little faith, why can't we learn to live by faith? The just shall live by faith. Faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hebrews chapter 11 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are not seen were not made of things which do appear. My friend, we need to learn and believe everything God tells us about what lies beyond the grave. Some of you are going to be there quicker than others. There are days when I have trouble getting up and moving. I don't know how much longer I've got. I know that my body is rotting away. My body is wearing out. I'm not going to tell you all the aches and pains I've got. You can't do anything for me. You got enough worries on your own. You can pray for me. I tell you, I've got major health problems, but you just pray for me. I got to keep going. It's a temporary duty assignment, the combat zone, the spiritual warfare, the angelic conflict. My duty assignment is in heaven, and I hope that I can go out a winner. I desire greatly to be an invisible hero in the spiritual warfare and the angelic conflict. I don't claim to have arrived. But all tears will be wiped away except those at the judgment seat of Christ. We'll never know death again. We'll never know physical sorrow. We'll never know sorrow and crying related to the physical world again. We'll know no more pain. Former things will pass away. 12th, we saw the believer death begins in eternal life in an immediate presence of God on a personal basis. Revelation 21:3, and heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and he shall be their God. Even before we come back in a resurrection body, we will know intimacy with God that will come. First with Christ, who waits us beyond the grave. Point 13, the believer death enters faultless in the presence of the glory of God and possesses eternal joy. I gave you all the scripture in the last class. I'm just reviewing to remind you of these great benefits. 14th, we saw the believer death enters into eternal state of perfect righteousness and will be eternally sanctified and set apart unto God. 15, the believer's physical death enters into an inheritance that is indestructible, perfect, eternal, and reserved for them in heaven. 16, the believer's physical death goes to a temporary home in the Father's house, while we await the permanent home that the Lord Jesus Christ has built for us. John 14:2, he says, In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. We go right now to the paradise of heaven, to the temporary abode where we await our resurrection bodies. Point 17, the believer in physical death is met by the resurrected and glorified Lord Jesus Christ, who will come to meet us at the moment that we die. Christ stands up for us. The angels take us into his presence. He's coming back for us at the rapture of the church. But now he waits for us. And we go immediately to his presence, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Angels escort us, but we see him all the way. The way I understand death, the human soul and spirit of the believer departs from the body, and elect angels are standing beside us, and we behold Christ in all of his glory. And the angels escort us across into the eternal state. However far it is, I do not know, but I know that they take us there. But all that time, our eyes are fixed upon Christ, who is standing there with open arms, waiting for you and for me. What a wonderful blessing that is going to be. I often question revelation and abnormalities that are seen today and describe, but sometimes I do not. It was January 1956. Jim Elliot and Pete Fleming went to be with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And the other men were there in Ecuador. Nate Saint. Pete was from West Seattle. Jim was from Portland. Never met either man, but I met the brothers of both of them. Both of their brothers had dinner in our home, my wife and I, back in the early 1970s. Jim Elliott's brother became a missionary for many years in Colombia. I believe it was Colombia or one of the other countries there in South America. Pete Fleming spent 20 years as a missionary in Durban, South Africa. Now, Steve Saint, the son of Nate Saint, one of the martyrs, was told by one of the people who became a Christian, that was one of the ones that was involved in the attack, that they heard and saw what they now believe to have been angels when the killings were taking place. a woman hiding and didn't know what kind of, was hiding a distance away, said she saw these beings above the trees and didn't know what kind of music it was until she heard a Christian choir on a record. Such revelations of angels are very rare, and the instance is a reminder to those heavenly beings who watch us on the earth and await us in heaven. Angels will be on hand to escort us over into the presence of Jesus Christ. And we must remember that. But we will meet the glorified, resurrected Christ. The angels will take us to him. The moment of physical death, the last plane point we gave you, the believer entered into the perpetual state of eternal life. And we gave you 1 John 5:11-13. And this is the record that God hath given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, he that hath not the Son hath not life. These things have I written unto you, I believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe in the name of the Son of God. John 10:12, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. All right, this brings us to the doctrine of the benefit for the believer's benefits of physical death, part two. Doctrine of benefits of physical death of the believer, part two. Point one, the believer at physical death is free from the old sin nature. 1 Corinthians 1:8. Who also shall confirm unto you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:55-57. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and thy strength of sin is in the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Philippians 3:20-21. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. Point two, the believer at physical death passes into a state in which he knows that he will one day receive a resurrection body. Now, we're supposed to know it today, but we need to believe it. Job 19:25-27. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth, and though my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself. My eyes shall behold and not another. Think about what Job wrote. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, that he shall stand in the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this flesh, yet in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself. My eyes shall behold and not another, though my reins be consumed within me. Job believed all this. Job didn't have a written Bible. Job didn't have one word of the written Bible as official canon of Scripture. It's possible he could have had some of the texts of some of the things that are found in the book of Genesis that were probably recorded by Noah. By Seth, possible, or Shem, possible. There are reason to believe that Moses, who wrote the Pentateuch under the divine inspiration of Scripture, may have had in front of him text to choose from of certain things handed down, going back to Adam, who was a prophet, because it says that God had prophets from the beginning, and Adam was the one there at the beginning. Communicators of the Word of God. Point three. The believer's human good will be burned up at the judgment seat of Christ after the rapture, and the believer has received his resurrection body. All right, we go to the third heaven to await the rapture. How long that will be, I do not know, if we're not alive when the rapture occurs. When the rapture occurs, all the believers will check out of heaven, will come back, receive their resurrection bodies, will ascend up in the clouds, will meet the Lord Jesus Christ, will be the great genuflex in the sky, and then we'll go to the judgment seat of Christ, where we will see our human good burned up. 1 Corinthians 3:11-15. For other foundation can no man lay than this laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's works. Of what sort it is, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. Now he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. 2 Corinthians 5:20, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive those things done in his body according to what he had done, whether it be good or whether it be bad. John 11:25, Jesus said there, I am the resurrection and life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. We will live, but then we will go to the judgment seat of Christ. Point 4. The believer at physical death enters in the reality of the guarantee that he shall appear before with the Lord Jesus Christ at the rapture. 1 John 3:1-2. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knoweth him not. Beloved, now we are the sons of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we all know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. We shall see him as he is. Point 5. The believer at death has the privilege of defeating the power of death. 1 Corinthians 15:55-57. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to think of what we've covered here so far. The honor and privilege of living and dying to the glory of God. We as believers have spent so much of our time wasting it instead of studying the Word of God and growing it and learning all the things that's there. The rich man was concerned about his five brothers' diabetes that were lost. He said, send someone to go to them to give them the gospel, literally, is what he meant. In Luke chapter 16 there, we read only part of it. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen. This is verse 19, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate, with sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sore. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And Hades lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. Immediately we understand that there is problem here. Diabetes still has his old sin nature. He still has a lust to satisfy himself. He has no concern for Lazarus whatsoever. He wants Lazarus to leave the paradise and come down into the torments so he can benefit from it. Bring him a drink of water to cool his tongue. But Abraham said, Son, remember thou that in thy lifetime receivest thou good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted and thou art tormented. Besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. All right, now we notice something. There are people who might want to go down into torments to see loved ones that were down there, if they could get down there. That's my personal belief. This was a rare incident. Under normal circumstances, probably no one in paradise, when it was in the earth, could see in the torments, or those in torments in the paradise. Perhaps those in torments, that was part of the torment, that they could see paradise, but I doubt if there were many that saw the other way. I say this because they were in a place of rest. Death is a place of rest for the soul from the struggles and worries of this world. And we still care beyond this law, because I want you to notice something. Verse 27, then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify on them, lest they also come to this place of torments. Here is love here. Here is love here for his brothers who are lost. He doesn't want them to go to Hades where he's at. Abraham said to them, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one would went unto them from the dead, they will repent. He said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. And of course Christ was going to rise from the dead. But there's a love relationship there. That's what I want you to see and understand. There's a love relationship there. There's a love relationship. And if the unbeliever has it, then the believer certainly has it too. Chet Bitterman, a missionary's son, was killed by guerrillas, said, we have eight children. They're all living, one in heaven and seven on the earth. Now, do I believe that children stay children forever in heaven? No. I believe that children are growing in heaven. Jesus Christ is seen, died when he was, according to the best calculations, about 33 to 35 years of age. I think he was 35. Having completed the five-year ministry that he began when he was 30. From Revelation, when he is seen by John, in Revelation chapter 1, verse 13, John says, in the midst of seven candlesticks, one likened to the Son of Man, likened to him, similar to what he had seen on earth, clothed with a garment down to his foot and girt about the pap with a golden girdle. He's wearing the robes of the high priest. And his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as fire. His head and hairs were white like wool. Now this occurred in 96 A.D. Christ went to be with the Lord Jesus Christ in 30 A.D. 66 years later, Christ is seen with white hair and looks like the Ancient of Days. Christ's appearance changed. Therefore, I believe that there is, to a certain extent, an aging process. It's an aging process without pain or without deterioration of anything, no. But evidently, there is an aging process that goes on. And this would be logical, because God wants us all to be conformed to the image of his Son, and that means that children, couldn't, babies that die before the age of accountability, couldn't spend eternity as a baby. No, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanses us from all sin, is the same blood. He died not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. There's no such saying as limbo. All right, we have personal love, and relationship will continue. We'll see loved ones who've gone on before. We'll be united with them. Now, we will not be giving and taking in marriage in the third heaven. There will be no marriage in eternity. However, there will still be intimacy of fellowship and reality. We will know our mother as our mother, she's there, our father as our father, brothers and sisters as brothers and sisters. We will have memories of who they were and things, and we will identify with them. We will not be sexless in eternity. It does not say that angels are sexless. It says that angels do not give and take in marriage. There will be no marriage there. People take that verse and think we're going to be sexless. It doesn't say that at all, no. Abraham was identified and called Father Abraham, not Abraham the it or whatever. We need to take the scriptures literally and understand what they're saying and what they're at and hold on to them. Get the message down. And get the message right. We'll have personal feelings in heaven. That's why God wipes away our tears. There'll be great joy. Psalm 16:11 says, "In thy presence is fullness of joy, in thy right hand there are pleasures evermore, forever." What a day it will be. Now therefore, you understand something. In heaven we have knowledge, in heaven we have love, in heaven we have feelings. In heaven we have a desire for justice. Revelation 6, 9, and 10 says, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, wilt thou refrain from judging and avenging our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" These are those that are slain, the martyrs that are slain during the tribulation for the word of God, that give up their life rather than take the mark of the beast. There's a desire for justice, not for revenge, but for justice. Our personality carries over then into the eternal state. But it carries over in a purified form. We take our personality into the eternal state in a purified form. Now we know very little about the interim body that we will have mentioned there in 2 Corinthians 5. We know a little about it, but we do know certain things about it. One, it will have sight. We will see. Just as we have eye gate for the body today, sight gives is the gate into the soul of the eye. We'll be able to see. Lazarus and Abraham could see. Dives. Only Abraham talked. Or at least Dives could see both of them, and Abraham could see him where the Dives saw him and not, is not said. I mean, where the Lazarus saw him and not, is not said. It says they were there. We can hear. Ear gate. Abraham heard what Dives said. Dives heard what Abraham said. Probably we could still have, then our interim body will still have smell, taste, and touch as well. We don't know, but we can assume that it will be, that the interim body will be similar to the human body in that sense that we have today, and eventually to what will be our resurrection body. Now our soul. Our soul will still have self-consciousness. We will know who we are. Our soul will have conscience. Our soul will have mentality from which we get reasons. Our soul will have affections, which are our emotions. Our soul will have imagination, but it will be all spiritually pure. Our soul will have volition. We will be able to make decisions, but they'll always be all be positive to God. There will be no negative ones. Certainly our life will go on in interesting ways, an eternal state that we cannot imagine. You see, what do you mean by volition? Most people think of volition as choosing to sin or not to sin. No. We're going to have duty assignments in heaven in eternity in our resurrection body out of New Jerusalem. We're going to have jobs and responsibilities to do so. Therefore, we're going to have to make volitional decisions, which means what we're going to have to do is we're going to have to apply Bible doctrine every day of our life throughout all eternity future, forever. We'll be living by the word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. In eternity, we're going to learn the doctrine we haven't learned now. Now some of us are going to spend a lot of time in school because we haven't learned very much. And I don't believe it's going to be sitting around a classroom saying, "What do you think of this verse?" No, I think God's going to assign men with the gift of pastor, teacher, or the gift of teacher to stand up and lecture on doctrines that they've learned, with the Holy Spirit having purified the judgment seat of Christ, when false concepts being burned up, and the Holy Spirit having done a work of purification so they clearly understand the doctrines. That's the way I see it. I think we're going to learn the Word of God in eternity if we didn't learn it here. Why? Because the Word of God is the way that we come to know and appreciate and love God. I do not think that we're going to sit around the eternal state saying little ditties like the hymns that we'll sing will be great hymns of depth, power, like the Psalms were sung. Our human soul will have faith. Our faith will be locked in because we will no longer live by faith blind, without seeing. We will have faith plus sight at that time. But will our faith ever stop? No, God has given us faith. Where that faith cometh by hearing, the strength of faith, and hearing by the Word of God. So the more doctrine we have, the greater our faith in God will be. Would anyone ever doubt in eternity that God did it all right? That the plan was perfect? Is eternal, holy, perfect, comprehensive, grace, dispensational, protocol, plan of the ages. No, his eternal plan is perfect and we'll know it. Hope. We'll have the reality of hope. We that have this hope in him purify themselves also as he is pure. The hope will be in reality as we live with Jesus Christ day by day. Will we reverence God? Oh yes, we'll reverence God. Will we pray in eternity? Of course we will. So how can we pray in eternity? Nothing to ask for. We'll pray prayers of adoration and prayers of praise. Those are prayers too. Praise him, praise him. Jesus, our blessed Redeemer. We're going to praise him forever. We'll worship God. These are faculties of our soul, of our spirit. I mean, to go with the faculties of our soul and the faculties of our body that we have seen. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We'll study, learn, appreciate the mouth of God forever. We will carry knowledge into eternity. We will carry love into eternity. Carry ye back road face to face with Christ, my Savior, face to face. What will it be when with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ, who died for me? Only faintly now I see him with his darkening veil between, but a blessing day is coming when his glory shall be seen. Face to face I shall behold him far beyond the starry sky, face to face in all his glory. I shall see him by and by. What a wonderful day is going to be in eternity future for you and for me. In eternity there's going to be a new order of reality. A new order of reality. Have you thought about that? Heaven will not have everything. We know that on the new heavens and the new earth, that on the new earth there will be no sea. Revelation 21:1. Now we realize that that stands for water, but it also typifies the Gentile nations of the world in rebellion against God. There will be no broken treaties, wars, nor scandals in eternity future. The earth will be organized. Kings will sit upon thrones to reign forever. No arrogant believers think the thrones are going to belong to them. They miss the whole point. We're the bride of Christ. We will be called upon to judge angels. At least the spiritually mature ones among us will. We'll all sit there and have a yes or nay, a yes vote. We will none of us will say nay. Because all things will be done righteously and justly. But there will be a different reality. And that different reality will make a difference. What a difference it will be. Now think through what I'm saying to you. I've told you that as a royal combat soldier that you need to develop and advance to the level where you can win the ranger tab of a royal combat ranger. You start out with authority orientation. Authority orientation. The word of God is alive and powerful, sharp and any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, the joints and marrows, discerning the thoughts, the intents of the heart. All scriptures given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, righteousness, the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study show thyself approved unto God, a workman needing not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, or making a straight path to the word of truth. We need to get these doctrines down our soul. We need to get we need to have authority orientation. Our authority orientation starts with the Word of God. Then we have to identify that God the Father is the civilian author of the plan. It's His plan. That the Son is our hero, our leader. That the Son controls history. That the Son is the executioner of phase one of the plan. The Son went to the cross and died for our sin. Jesus paid it all to Him. My old sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Christ washed it white as snow in the blood that He shed on Calvary's cross and all that it represents is spiritual death. The wrath bearing of God upon Him during that time and then His physical death. Complete package. Complete package. We need to learn how to identify with a close order drill. Close order drill. I point out to you the issue of close order and what it's all about. Military language, we talk an arrangement of troops according to the exact system. Close order drill may be performed in parades and reviews in the performance of the manual of arms. Present arm. Right shoulder. Left shoulder, halt. Learning to function as a soldier. Being drilled over and over and over again. Getting our weapons down, getting everything down for what they are. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 15. Ephesians 6, 15. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Your feet are used to march, and marching is used in drill, in drills, in close order drills. Right face. Attention. Right face. About face. Left face. Right face. Present arms. Forward march. Hut to ye or hut to ye or hut to ye or. Right face. To the rear march. Close order drills. Your TONE, your table of organization equipment. You've got to earn your organizational system and how you function the plan of God and what's going on there. Why? In eternity, we're going to have assignments. In eternity, we're going to be assigned out to do duties and responsibilities. There's going to be a chain of command and an order system forever. You will never get away from order. Because God is not the author of confusion, chaos, but the God of order. In the next class, we're going to be dealing with the inevitability of death. The inevitability of death. You and I will never escape from death. The human body like grass will wither, and the fame of a person like a dead flower will fall away. 1 Peter 1:24 says, for all flesh is as grass, and all glory is man. As the flower of grass, the grass withereth. We began the journey to death at the moment of physical birth. There's a point when a man wants to die, and after death, the judgment. Ecclesiastes 12, 5 to 7, B to 7a. On ever the silver cord could be loosed, where the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, then shall the dust return into the earth as it was. Right. Christ is God the Son, pre-incarnate appearance. Says, depart from me. The sin question had to be paid for, and Christ paid for it on the cross of Calvary. The golden bowl in Ecclesiastes 12:6 is a container of oil with a wick that draws the oil to the top of the flame coming in to light the fire. We're going to study these things, these symbols related to death. Death is inevitable. We'll have to look that up and understand it. Father, thank you for the privilege of teaching your word, for your word is absolute truth. Again, we claim your promise that will not return void. Accomplish what you decided for. In Christ's name we pray. Say, even so come, Lord Jesus. Amen.